Huh? Right? Like, oh, guys got to talk again. We could just be singing songs, going hallelujah, praise the Lord. No, there's certainly a special message today, as Chris began to elaborate on. Certainly, looking around this room, all of us be reminded of what is a very simple truth, that nothing can stop the gospel.
Amen.
Yeah. Not a thing. Whether it's you, whether it's someone else, who knows? So, brothers and sisters, my question to you today is, what ails you? What bothers you? What causes unrest in your life this morning for Easter? As we celebrate our risen Lord, who is very much alive, who is very much active, who is very much faithful, and very much still going today as he was all those many millennia ago. And so, what can we leave outside? What can we give back to God in these moments? What can we give to God in this moment? I've got a plan. I'm going to help inspire some thought as God laid it out. But we're all going to find out that we're all in the same boat, and that you're not alone. So, nothing can stop Jesus and his gospel. Especially not us, nor death, or anything else. So, dear Heavenly Father, certainly, as always, I thank you for all that you give us as your children, as your people. Even those things that we fail to see. And so, Lord Jesus, as we come here in this moment, and we come to worship, certainly tune our hearts and minds to your will. May you encourage us, may you convict us of your truth by the Spirit, and may we continue to be able to walk boldly and confidently yet meekly, which is a humble yet quiet confidence in our lives that we know who we are, and we know why we're here, and we understand what's wrong with the world, and we see your plan and your purpose. And let us latch onto your plan and your purpose so that we may not be continually led astray and left empty and devastated and perhaps hopeless. So whatever ails us in this moment, certainly, Lord Jesus, we give it all to you. And may certainly this worship be for your glory and ultimately our good as your people. It's in your name we pray. Amen. 1006. That's what page we're on, just so you know. In the blue Bibles in front of you. I didn't realize I'd have a snotty nose, but I was kind of crying during songs a little bit, just thinking about the Lord and thinking about certainly all the things I know, right? Way to go. Yeah, make Pastor cry. That's Chris's job. So Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And this is a Kleenex. Sorry. Keeping it real, keeping it honest. I'm only human. I'm only human. So, brothers and sisters, as you see, certainly from the outline that I've given you in the text, that it's about the resurrection today, but it's about so much more than just the resurrection today. It's about the all-encompassing knowledge that there is nothing that's going to stop God's plan of salvation. There's nothing at all, whether it's death and the resurrection, whether it's perhaps our moral or our shortcomings in regards to the covenant commitment, maybe our unfaithfulness at times, or whether it's the fact of time in general. Nothing's going to stop it. It's all going to come to the fullness of how God planned it and orchestrated it to come out. And so, starting in the first verse and starting in the first point with the resurrection, we see that very first part. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. So Theophilus, the name itself, actually means God lover. Theo, God, and Phalus, or Phylus, comes from phileo, which is love. So God lover. In the first book, O God lover, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. And so Luke, we know, wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts together. And he wrote them by Theophilus's charge, a God lover's charge, if you will. And so I think about this, especially as, you know, Theophilus, in a sense, that you receive these notes from Luke, and you're just like, I know Luke, I trust Luke, I know Luke's crazy, but you're telling me a guy floated on a cloud into heaven. Are you crazy, Luke? Or did this really happen? But we know, too, that there's a whole lot of story in that gospel. And as we begin the book of Acts, know that while this is the first time as the church we've preached from the book of Acts is our story. It's the story of the church from humble beginnings to where it ended up at the last writing that Luke took measure of in pretty much the life of Paul and where the church was going. But this adds another level of authenticity, if you will, to me. And hopefully it adds a level of authenticity to you. Because we talk about faith, and a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I do that. But faith is something that God gives, always has, and always will. It's the measure of our salvation, if you will. And it's that giving of that faith that allows us to come to him in the first place. However, when we read things like this, there should be a certain measure of faith that this book was not written outside of time and space and history. This was written from one man to another, examining the realty and the realness of the story. And also in the authenticity part of it, being written to Theophilus, we see in verse 3, presented himself alive to them after his sufferings by many proofs. Proofs, if you will. Proof. That's what we all want. I just want some proof. But I remind you, too, that the disciples saw, and one of my favorite biblical characters is Doubting Thomas. Until I actually see those holes in his hands and put my finger in his side, which is disgusting, then I'll believe. That's like the vast majority of people out there already today. But Jesus says very coincidentally in that blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. And that's us. I haven't physically touched Jesus. I haven't put my finger in his side. But yet here is his word, and it is truth. And it is truth for life in all of us. And so we see that he's following Jesus in this. Luke is following him. He's getting everything together. And this is where he leaves us and he leaves off. And so, going a little further, that last half through the end, like verse 1a through 3, we're going to see three things. That he dealt with all that Jesus began to do until the day when he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he chose. And then he presented himself alive after his sufferings to many of the disciples. And we can read about more stories too in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul talks about how Jesus revealed himself to the 500 people. And he's like, look, if you don't want to take my word for it, go ask these 500 guys that witnessed it. And so here we are. We don't get those opportunities, but we still know. And it's because of what we read in this through the Holy Spirit that we know. It's the promise and the seal and the guarantee. However, in verse 1a to 3, I want you to see and I want you to make special note that Jesus is alive. He presented himself alive to them. Okay? You see that he's active. He didn't stop. He's like, well, now that I've been raised, job's done. And just stood there and gleamed all holy. No, he was still on the ground. He was still in the trenches, if you will, with the people, encouraging them, inspiring them, building faith within them as well. Still active. And you know what? He's faithful to God in all this. Look at this. Still speaking about the kingdom of God. While no one's wearing it today, praise the Lord, love Jesus, love people. That's exactly what you're seeing Jesus do here in this text. Even after his resurrection, he came back, still loved God, still spoke of the kingdom of God to everyone, and still encouraged and emboldened all of the disciples. So, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. He beat death. He faithfully accomplished his mission. As hard as that is, and as hard as it is for any of us, none of us can do that mission that Jesus has done. We need Jesus to accomplish that mission for us. And so, the gospel of salvation for the sinner. This is the whole story. As much as Chris held up that book this morning, the Bible of Redemption, the entire Bible speaks of redemption. It is God redeeming people. Whether you look at the Old Testament, whether you look at the New Testament, doesn't matter. God is redeeming and saving people. Whether it was the nation of Israel in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, or whether in the New Testament we call ourselves the church, God redeeming people and saving people. That's what he does. And that's when we're part of the family, that's our major calling. It's not about the little things anymore. It's about the big picture. And so death itself could not stop God and his gospel. Jesus kept going after that resurrection. And he's still going today just the same. So tell me, why is that good news? I need to know, but I'm going to give the answer to you. Even though I need to know, and I'd love to hear it from you, because we all have a little different twist, a little different measure as to why that is such good news. However, we're all in a struggle bus, if you will. We're all in the same boat. We all deal with sin, albeit differently. So, let's play a little game. I love games. Big, big fan of games. Close. You're going to move, but you're not going to move far. So, listen to me carefully. Please, I ask nicely, stand up if you have ever suffered a physical ailment with your body, had cancer, a disease, or been sick. All right, boy, it takes a lot of people a while to stand up, but if anyone's sitting down, you're a liar. I apologize. And I remind you that this is indeed the house of the Lord, and lying would be bad. Right? No problem. But ultimately, here's the thing. Those are all issues amidst a sea of ailments that can stop us. We've been stopped. We've been halted. We've been halted by sin in the flesh and death. All of us have been sick. All of us have suffered. Maybe we don't have cancer. Praise the Lord if you don't, but maybe you have. Maybe there's another disease that you have. Maybe you've got a hidden illness that no one knows about because it's not visible on the outside. It's only tearing you apart from the inside. You never know. But here's the thing. Everyone's in that group. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your socioeconomic status. Doesn't matter where you were born or raised. Doesn't matter. This is the problem of sin. This is what death brings, or sin brings death. This is what Jesus beat. He beat everything that you're standing up about, because this isn't it. This isn't the end at all. Those are all issues amidst the sea of ailments that can stop us, slow us down, and or kill us. Yet in Christ, because of the resurrection, the war we fight against sin in the flesh that leads to problems with disease and our death, it's been won. Praise the Lord. Though we die, we live as Christ lives. You may all sit down. So though we all die, we live as Christ lives. That's the glory of the resurrection. And for you who are in Christ, that is a hope that, or not a hope, let's be real. It's a promise of God that sin has been defeated. It ends when the flesh ends and we're raised in the spirit, still with the body. So the resurrection, hopefully you see that that's good news. Moving on, point two, verse 4-8, the covenant commitment. Oh, glory be to God for his covenant commitment and his faithfulness, or his hesed, his steadfast love, which is unfailing and unwavering, and will always see whatever it says to the end, because it's very simply the right thing to do. And so, the overarching point of this section, I don't want you to miss, so I'm going to repeat it now and repeat it later. Man's doubt and unfaithfulness to hear and follow Jesus will not stop the gospel. And that is good news. That is good news for all of you who have ever felt like you failed. Verse 4 through 5, and then also verse 8, talks about the covenant in and of itself. And what is my meaning and purpose in Christ? What is it that God has called me to do? Well, it's the same as everyone else, because now you're part of the family. Like, yes, you do different things on a daily basis, but big picture, we're all in the same boat. So what is it that God wants from us? Verse 4 and 5. To be his people. To be his people. And how do we be his people? With the promise and seal of our salvation, the Holy Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. You've tried. You've failed. Y'all been on a diet. Y'all been on like something that's like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And you give yourself all the legalism you can handle. And you're gonna pave the way. And you're going to do all these things until you realize that, who am I to tell myself to lose weight? And then you rebel, and then you're like, forget it, I'm out of this. And then like everything that you might have lost is you've gained back, and then some. Legalism doesn't work. Never has, and it never will. Jesus knows that. Your Heavenly Father knows that. The religion that people followed, they clearly don't know that. I don't understand. But I know and understand what Jesus says. And I know and understand that he says, hey, I'm here to help. I know you can't do these things. You're quite frankly terrible at these things. But I love you anyway. So let me help you. Come be a part of my kingdom. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. This is all things Jesus has said to us. And yet we're still like, nope, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pave my own way. Let me grab the pitchaxe and the fork, and I'm going to dig my own grave, and I'm going to dig my own everything. Because I do it. Because that's what culture says, is I do it. I'm certainly not preaching about lawlessness, but I'm certainly preaching against legalism. Because as much, as they say, even though it's cliche, like, the best paved roads or, you know, the best intentions lead to hell, if you will. And so, the first part is to be his people, and we do that with his help. The second part, and praise the Lord, he gives us his help here too. Verse 8, to be his witnesses to the end of the earth, the great co-mission. Everyone's on this mission. If you are in Christ, that's why it's called co-mission. A lot of times they put it together, but I think it's better with a little hyphen in it. Because co means partner. You are a partner with God. In fact, to be even odder, you're married to Christ. You, whether you're male or female, are the bride of Christ as his church. Follow our husband's lead. Hopefully he leads well, right? Praise the Lord that, again, we're not talking about human, earthly things, because that certainly is a challengeable statement, right? But when it comes to our Lord Jesus, there's no evil in him. There's no bad. I've tasted and seen that he's good. He's good all the time. There's never a time. He might not do everything that I want him to do for me, but if I'm ever so honest, I'm a spoiled child. Do for me. Please me. Serve me. Me, 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 me. And that's the problem with sin. It's about me. I've made it about myself. Everything I do is a means to the end about myself. So how can I covenantally commit to being his witness to the end of the earth, let alone covenantly commit to be his people, even with the promise and the seal and the guarantee? I'm a rebel without a cause, man. You know, you give me an option and an opportunity, you put a speeding driver next to me and it's on. It's on like Donkey Kong. Let's go. I'll show you. Right? I'm challengeable. Might not end well, but I'm challengeable. And so, it makes you wonder a little bit too. Like, this is our meaning and purpose. This is it in the simplicity, and yet we're constantly led astray, each to our own way, from a multitude of things, for a multitude of people, multitude of different ways. Doesn't matter, because you're still going to be led astray from Jesus. So I see this in verse 6, and I wonder to myself, golly, at what point does Jesus say, oh, these people, oh, these people? I say that, praise the Lord. Like, I'm not Jesus, thankfully, but that's the human condition, right? At what point does he go, man, why do they keep sticking their finger in the light socket? How many times are they going to hurt themselves? How many times? That question, like, Jesus certainly had to have answered it 50 ways to Sunday, if you will. And they're still like, hey, are you going to put Israel back in power? We're ready for Israel to be the conquering kingdom. Jesus didn't come for that. He never came for that. He came to save people. This whole Christian nationalism thing that you hear about, it's so bogus, it hurts. Jesus has been about people, not a nation. You might have heard about Israel as a nation, but the only reason God chose them as his people, and even then they weren't all saved as a nation because they were rebellious twerps, just like we are today. Human nature hasn't changed. Oh, the Bible's so irrelevant. No, people are still the same. The culture might be a little different, but you're nuts just the same as they were back 2,000 years ago. So at what point does he say, like, oh, man, but man, praise the Lord, because he's the Lord, because he has more patience than I will ever have. And because of that, we see in verse 7 and 8 his beautiful response. Jesus' beautiful response is that, look, man, I'm paraphrasing here, it's impossible for you to know everything. And that's okay, because all that needs to be revealed to you has been revealed to you, right? So what has been revealed to us has been revealed in Jesus through his word and in his Bible. And so you don't know the times and the seasons that the Father's fixed by his own authority. You don't know the day of your birth any more than you know the day of your death. You don't know the day of when the trauma hit any further than the day that was the best day of your life. You don't know, and you never will know. So what do you do in the meantime? Well, Jesus says, rely on him, rely on the power of God, and here's the most breathtaking part of this, if you look at verse 8, you will receive, and you will be. There's no options in there. There's no choices. I'm going to rebel. I'm going to do these things. There's no options. It's a you will. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit that will enable you to walk confidently with the Lord. And, good news, you will be my disciples and talk about me to the ends of the earth. You will. So, while certainly it's impossible to know everything that God is doing, it's very easy to know your purpose and your meaning, to be His and to love Him because you're His, and then to tell people about Him, which is just loving people. And you do that every day of your life. You love Jesus and you love people. So two great commandments, if you will. Let's play a game again. I know you guys like games. It's a very similar game to the first game, but this is game number two. Right? Right? Got to keep it exciting. Got to keep it fresh. So, please stand if you have ever felt inadequate or not good enough for someone or something. Again, everyone is standing, and if you're not, I understand that there could be health reasons, whatever. That's totally fine. But don't be a liar. We talked about that. You're in the house of the Lord. There's nothing there. Brothers and sisters, we've all felt inadequate. There's no denying that. We all haven't measured up by human standards. And in fact, when you look at cultural standards, isn't that the hardest achievements you've ever tried to achieve? Look at the measure of wealth that you need in order to be successful. Think about how beautiful you have to be in order to be considered successful. Think about what you have to own in your life, whether it be cars or houses or children, even for some people, what they have to own in order to be perceived as successful. Isn't it great that Jesus took you out of darkness into His marvelous light and said, it has nothing to do with your performance. It has not one iota to do with your performance. Simply based on the fact that I love you and I have mercy on you, come be a part of my kingdom. Praise the Lord indeed. Because I know we're all beat up by the world. I've seen it. I hear it. I hear it all the time. It's never ending. The world is, I want to say evil, but I know it's not, because at its core, God designed it. So it is good. The problem is us, and it always has been, and it always will be us, because we're trying to measure up by other people's standards and other people that don't even care about you, and you're trying to impress them. Why? God said, I'm going to take you at your worst. When you hate me, you don't love me, you have no idea who I am, and you are certainly not worthy of my salvation, but I'm going to take you anyway. Man, that is the most beautiful thing, and Easter celebrates this. So please, sit down. I'll repeat it one other way. Here's that good news. Our not being good enough can't stop the gospel. In fact, that's the purpose of the gospel. The fact that you're not good enough. So why are people hooked on religion, trying to climb this spiritual ladder to get to a God when, man, everyone can see and acknowledge that, man, nobody's good enough. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. Right, Carmen? You got a button for it now. All means all. That's everybody. Make no mistake about it. And so, that's the purpose of the gospel, to redeem a people that just aren't good enough. We celebrate today that Jesus was good enough and that He was kind enough to help us in our weakness. And then lastly, the third point, the ascension and the second coming, looking towards the future. I love this part of the story because I imagine standing with my brothers and sisters and sitting there, and we're just kind of watching Jesus on a cloud go to heaven. And then I nudge my friends, and I'm like, should we tell people about this? They might think we're crazy. they wouldn't kill us, would they? And then those two guys are like coming at you, why are you watching Jesus go to heaven? And, well, why wouldn't I watch Jesus go to heaven? I've never seen this before. And then they're like, oh yeah, don't worry, he's going to return the same way. And at which point I would just go, wow, what just happened? Where am I? Is this the Twilight Zone? Where are we? How did this happen? But isn't that the beauty of the story and the power of the Holy Spirit? Like, I have no shred of doubt in my mind about the testimony of the truth found in scriptures. None. The stories might be tall and crazy, but here's what's a fun fact. I can tell you some pretty tall and crazy stories that I've lived through. And I know that you can tell me some pretty tall and crazy stories that you've lived through, where you're like, there's no way this should have worked out. I cannot believe I'm here, and yet here I am. And so I feel like that honestly every Sunday. There's a part of me that's like, I can't believe we're here. I can't believe this worked. I can't believe God did this amazing thing. I can't believe I'm part of this amazing thing. Who knew? Well, Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Praise the Lord on that. And so I want you to see verse 9, part of the ascension. It said these things. He was lifted up. A cloud took him out of their sight. He's going to be with God. Amen? Jesus going to be with the Father? And I love how it's phrased, out of sight. Out. It's like my favorite phrase. He called me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. There's that sense of out, being taken from what you thought you knew to something better. Out. I'm out. And then verse 10 and 11. Jesus, the second coming, he will return. And when he comes back, he will bring us back, if not sooner. So maybe we're out. Those that have fallen asleep, as they say, those that have moved on are out. If not, Jesus is coming back to take you out when it's time to go out. So it's fascinating because we're talking about earth and we're talking about heaven at this point. We're talking about Jesus leaving and we're talking about Jesus coming back. We're talking about bringing people back. So, third and final little game. I think you know where I'm going with this now. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Third time, I think you know what's coming. So please stand if you have hoped for something or someone in this world and ended up disappointed because you didn't get what you wanted. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've shown you three ways today that you're all the same. You're all so uniquely different. 8 billion people on this planet, each one of them different. Science has proven it. You have a 3 billion digit code resting inside each and every one of you called your DNA. No two DNAs are alike. Praise the Lord. You are all unique. And yet, hopefully, you see that there is a little bit more that brings us together than what separates us. The world wants to be separated right now. You see division, you see divisiveness, you see hate, you see anger, you see a whole bunch of junk. That's called sin. That's called selfish people showing their true nature and their true colors. There's no reason human beings should be divided. Human beings, especially those in Christ, all have come to a knowledge of the truth, not because of things that they've done, but because of who God is and what he's done. And this is the point. Sit down, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 to 25 says, now hope that is seen is not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16 through 19 says, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, then we are of all people most to be pitied. That's how Paul phrases it, through the power of the Holy Spirit that allowed him to write the scripture. Brothers and sisters, we just admitted that we struggle and suffer, both physically and emotionally, but also spiritually. Praise be to God that He saved us and that we do not have our hope in this life only. For if you have your hope in this life only, it is misplaced. For you are physically broken, you are emotionally broken, and spiritually broken. And praise be to God that as you remember this resurrection and as you remember the covenants, you remember the ascension of Jesus, and you remember that, yeah, He's coming back, and He knows what He's doing, and He's got this. That as we remember these truths, this is the blessing. This is the blessing of who we are in Christ, and this is the blessing of Easter. God is living, God is active, and God is faithful. Where you fail, He has succeeded. So stop looking at your failures. Know that you are in Christ. Know that you are His church. You are His people. And that while the earth is going to tell you that you're a failure and does on a regular basis, Jesus doesn't say that. Nor does He say that at all, ever. He's like, yeah, you're a sinner. Way to go. But even then, He's like, don't worry, I got this. I got this for you. And so, praise be to God that He saved us and that we don't have our hope in this life only. Because being physically broken, it's hard to have a sensible hope. Being emotionally broken, it's hard to have a sensible hope. And for all those that are spiritually broken and that don't know Christ, they have no idea what hope really is. Not a clue. Because all you're left with is what's on earth, and hope is nothing more than a wish. So, this is all that we celebrate today. The war that Jesus fought to bring victory to a hopeless and helpful people, thus giving them the hope and strength to walk confidently with Christ in this life currently, until we go home to be with Jesus forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, He's risen. Awesome. Dear Heavenly Father, You are awesome. There is no other like You. Truly, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of Your glory. And so, Lord Jesus, as we are Your people, as we are Your church, man, we just give You all the praise, all the thanksgiving, all the love that we can muster, especially as we celebrate this holiday. Lord Jesus, You truly, what You've done with Your sacrifice, what You've done with Your life, what You've done with Your word, what You've done with Your commitment and Your commandments, what You continue to do with Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. Oh, the list goes on and on and on and on. And Lord Jesus, we just love You. And as I look around this room and I see these people and their bowing heads and smiling faces, I just know that certainly You have begun a good work in them, and You, Lord Jesus, will see it to completion at the day of Christ. Regardless of their shortcomings, regardless of their failures, regardless of their physical ailments, regardless of their spiritual drought, because idols have entered into the way that are much greater than You. And so, Lord Jesus, You are awesome. Continue to tune our hearts and our minds to Your will. Continue to sanctify us by the Spirit, and continue to allow us a deeper love and appreciation for who You are and what You continue to do in our lives individually, as well as our lives corporately as Your church. We love You, and it's in Your name we pray until we go home with You again. Amen.